This episode is brought to you by Gamefly. Have you ever wanted to try a game and didn't want to pay $60 for it? Gamefly solves that problem. Gamefly is the best way to rent and buy all your favorite games and movies. Go to Gamefly.com/gamertag and start your 30-day free premium trial today. Pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamer Tag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamer Tag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio episode 567. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey. And also I have here joining me this week, co-hosts of the show. Let's start with Pete.
What's up, dude?
What's up?
How are you?
Good, man. Playing Uncharted nonstop. Woo! Amazing game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I want to hear what your opinion is on that later.
We can't really talk much about it because our co-host here, Mr. Paris. Welcome, Paris. He hasn't played the game yet.
Disappointment.
Yeah.
It's not a disappointment. You know what? Leave me alone. I've been telling this guy all week, hey, I got the game and I saved like $30 getting it from Amazon Prime and using their 20% off on new games and the whole thing. And I had a little gift card too. So I'm like, look, get it for 60 or get it for 30 and wait a couple days. I chose the 30 and wait a couple days. And then Pete's been giving me crap all week. Like I was just supposed to run out to the store and just throw my coin purse at the Best Buy dude and just pick it up day one. I didn't need to do that. I can wait. I will literally start playing this game when we're done recording. So how about Keon from Baltimore? We're going to do a 15-minute show and then we're out of here. How about that? There you go.
But see, if this was a 1080, you'd be out the door already done.
See? Okay. Exactly.
See, why you got to bring up the 1080, man? I've been looking at the specs all week.
He gets so weak in the knee.
Are you more hype about it now, Paris? Are you more hype about it or what?
What, the 1080?
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday, which I guess as of this recording will be tomorrow, the NDA lifts. So we'll start seeing some real world specs on it. I mean, something allegedly leaked on power performance and everything. If it's true, then yeah, I'm hyped for it. It's because I have a 980. It's definitely, if you have a 980 or lower,
it's PC worth, gamers, it, that's it, for you guys.
It's worth the upgrade. But if you have a 980 Ti, I wouldn't do it personally.
Okay.
But I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Head over to gamertagradio.com or go to play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes and share with your friends. You also could find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. You can also give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. This episode, of course, we're going to be talking about E3 predictions. This time is going to be Ubisoft. Also, fan mail, our favorite. We're going to be reading some emails and playing some voicemails too. But before that, guys, having a big announcement. I've been keeping this on the low for a while now. I haven't really talked about this at all. But I'm definitely going to surprise P and Paris with this one. So yesterday, it was our 10th anniversary. I've been dating my girl. Been like, yeah, 10 years now. And I basically proposed to her yesterday.
Well, it's about time.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Congrats.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
So it's official.
Oh my God. Dude, I've been asking you how many years now?
Forever.
I remember distinctly a party. I think it was your girlfriend's sister's party.
No, it was her birthday. It was her birthday, and your son was there.
It was her birthday, and I think it was my daughter came up and asked you, and was like, or something like that. Like, when are you guys gonna get married?
Yeah.
Wow, dude, I'm getting goosebumps. I'm so
Yeah.
So happy for you guys, dude.
Yeah. Only two people knew about the move. This is what happened. I purchased the ring the day before I found out that my grandmother passed away. So I left the Dominican Republic and I had that ring at the Chirley spot for like almost a week and I couldn't pick it up because I was out of the country. So once I got back, that's when I picked it up while my girlfriend was at work. And I planned this perfectly, yo. Perfectly. It came out so awesome, yo. So yeah, it's official, guys. It's official. Big move.
Well, congratulations.
Wow.
But thanks.
Still in shock.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's what's going on. And I mean, any other surprises for you guys before we go to the next topic?
Can't top that really right now. You can't top that. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, man, let me dream.
Yeah, your dream came true finally.
Finally, yeah. So that's official, man. So let's talk about this guy. I know Paris was it last episode, two episodes ago. You asked about Project Spark from Microsoft.
Yeah.
And look at that. Behold, yeah. I think they were listening to the show and they're like, well, I think it's not working. Let's just kill the project. Project Spark is officially dead.
Well, someone online made a good point when I saw it. Unfortunately, I'm not surprised by this when the news finally came out. That's, you know, like you said, a couple episodes. I'm like, wait, whatever happened to Project Spark? And then sure enough, with all the silence going on, they've decided to cancel it. But someone made a great point online I saw saying, well, maybe some of the creation features that they were doing in Project Spark, maybe they'll morph it into Minecraft somehow, potentially. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that would be pulled off. I don't know how you iterate on what they're already doing in Minecraft, but there's no way they can completely just scrap everything about it and not implement it into something else, I would imagine. But I don't know, man. And I know I'm going to get flack for saying this. I already know it. So you can tweet at me at Vicious696. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. I look at Microsoft's first party portfolio right now, their development studios. Outside of Turn 10, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. I think where first party Microsoft was, I don't know, let's say 5-6 years ago versus where they are today is just vastly different. Nothing's jumping off the page at me to saying, yep, that's that game. That's that game that I want to get an Xbox One or Windows 10 device to play, you know, for something from coming from Xbox. I don't see it. Maybe Gears of War 4 is it. I don't know about you guys. Halo Wars 2. I'm on a pure wait and see mode with that after everything that's happened with Halo 5 and the Master Chief Collection. You know, obviously the Forza series has been great. I'm still anticipating that. But even like Crackdown 3, yeah, we know it's coming, but I'm hesitant. It seems like everything that Microsoft has been doing this generation on their first party team has just been kind of suspect. I mean, Quantum Break, I'm not saying it's a terrible game. I'm not saying that at all. Obviously, it's a good game, but it's not that game. Where's that game? And I already know I can see the emails coming out. Well, what about Sony? Before we even started recording, these two guys were just ranting and raving about Uncharted 4. It sounds like Uncharted 4 is that game. They finally got that game on that system that people will want to pick up that system to play that game. I'm still waiting for that game on Xbox One. So,
yep.
I don't know. I don't know. It's disappointing that Project Spark was canceled because, again, it was a game or at least an idea to let people invent their own game, their own ideas. You know, it was giving them the tools to do what they wanted to do. And now it's being taken away. So, again, disappointment.
Yeah, it reminds me, this whole move from Microsoft reminds me of WWE that they've been making some major changes, bunch of wrestlers getting the boot and then just changing their company because they want to make, you know, they want to take things to the next level, hire new talent and go from there. And I feel like that's the same thing that's going on with Microsoft lately. Like, you know, Lionhead Studios done. Now this done. I mean, what else is going to be coming up from now till later this year, you know? So,
well, see, and even to add on that, maybe because it's early and I've only had one cup of coffee, I'm just ornery this morning, but the fact like Lionhead Studios is no more, and we're finding out now through that Eurogamer interview with former, I think he was a former lead. I can't remember exactly. But anyways, he was talking about Fable 4, their idea for Fable 4. It sounded amazing. It's absolutely something I'd want to see the Fable universe go to. And Microsoft nixed it and said, nah, we're going to do games as a service and we're going to make you do Fable Legends. And they wind up canceling that too. And now that studio is no more.
Well, I mean, break it down. What was it that the idea that they had for Fable 4, though?
Well, they were going to take it to like kind of a steampunk era. It was like instead of like it just being, you know, a small town or just a small area that, you know, the first few Fables were. I mean, it was literally going to be like a Victorian London in the steampunk era and just all the possibilities that came with that. Not to mention, you know, it also came out that originally for Fable 3, they wanted it to be a black woman and they nixed that.
Because, on the cover.
Yeah, on the cover, because that doesn't sell. It had to be a white person, a white guy, because that's what sells globally, which, again, I don't blame Microsoft alone for that. That's just an entertainment problem, period. People of color, people of different races and creeds aren't allowed to be the feature person because that, quote unquote, doesn't sell globally. You know, again, it's not just Microsoft with this. This is a problem in Hollywood, other game companies everywhere, you know, so that's unfortunate, too. But it's when you hear news, you hear things like this, that, you know, it's not just about the games. It's not just about let's give people something that would be fun or something that would be different. It's like we're going to do something that's going to make us money. And I totally get it. It kind of goes back to our Call of Duty talk last week. You know, Activision does what they do because it's the number one selling game and it makes money. So they're not going to break that formula. And obviously Microsoft saw a chance with games as a service where you make a game and it just keeps bringing in money year after year. You don't have to keep developing and create new things. You can take this one idea and people are going to throw money at it year over year. You know, that's a smart business decision. Obviously, Fable Legends didn't work. Sounds like Project Spark obviously didn't work. So they're not going to be able to do that. I'm sure they're going to come up with something else. But then you look at a game like Destiny or whatever. That's the model they're going for. The Sea of Thieves, I would assume it's going to be something similar where it's a game as a service. It's a shared universe. There's going to be constant DLC coming in and people are throwing money at it and going to continue to play it. But again, going back to the whole Fable thing, it's disappointing, man, because it shows you that on the corporate side, the business side of it, just having a great idea for a game doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get made. And you have these developers and these dev studios that fight for their ideas. And unfortunately, by the time it comes to fruition, because, again, you're investing at some point hundreds of millions of dollars in development costs and marketing costs, etc. So it has to be something that the publisher looks at and says, yes, this will make back the investment we put into it plus more. And obviously they felt the idea for Fable 4 wasn't going to do that. And that's unfortunate, you know, because that's something we want to see. That's the type of thing that a Witcher 3 or a Skyrim, those ideas are born out of things like that. And gamers eventually will gravitate to it and they want to experience that. So, you know, it's a dirty side of the business. It has to happen. I'm saddened by it, but at the same time, I understand it, you know?
That's why when Mirror's Edge 2 comes out, I want people to support it, because the more we support games like that, having, you know, different race on the cover, having you know, a woman on the front cover of a game, you support that, it's going to open the doors for more opportunities like that in the future too, you know? So
agreed.
I support that, you know? And same thing with Bayonetta. I bought that game, and you know, there's other games like that too that came out in the past too. So
we'll see. It's funny. I'm just real quick, and I know Pete hasn't chimed in yet, so I apologize. But you brought up Mirror's Edge, and that the fact that we're getting a sequel to Mirror's Edge is a miracle, because Mirror's Edge did not make money. The original did not make money for EA at all. So the fact that they even greenlit this sequel is a miracle. And like Danny said, we got to support games like this. If you want to see unique games like Mirror's Edge continue to get made and continue to get a budget to be made by a big studio like DICE, we have to buy the game. You know, we can't sit on our hands and wait for the $5 Steam sale, because if we do, we will not see a sequel. We won't. This will be it. They will not take the risk again to make another game like that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true. Now, Fable 1 and 2 Actually, and if you really think about it from a numbers perspective, all of the Fable titles were profitable in the eyes of the company. They were successful. They made more than they used to create or build the game. Unfortunately, they weren't as profitable as the rest of the properties, the rest of the Microsoft titles.
Okay.
And having someone like McCormick push to make grandiose changes to Fable to the point that it would have been, in my eyes, I think it would, and I think anybody who has followed it, or Danny, if you want, you can put a link to the GAF or the Eurogamer article.
Okay.
If you read the things that he wanted to do, he wanted to switch out to Unreal Engine 4. Like Paris said, move into a steampunk type, environment where it's late Victorian mixed with Jules Verne. I'm reading bits and pieces of it so the listeners can get a better understanding of what we're talking about. He wanted to bring Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like take all of the characters from British history and mythology and drop them into Fable with a writing twist. It's almost like an R-rated version of Fable. And if you really think about that, that's pretty intense. That's crazy, especially considering how Fable played out. There was always those little nuances of bad. But this one was going to really take that hard right turn into crazy land. And it was still rejected. And it's not, it's one of those things that it's like, okay, why not, if it's always been successful, why not give it the opportunity to make a change or to just bring in something that's, it's not going to fail. There's a heavy following for Fable. Mm-hmm. And then, as it says later on in the article, everybody else has been given, every other big title or known AAA title is given the financing and the proper amount of years to develop and give you something solid. Look at CD Projekt Red for an example. Witcher takes 3, 4, 5 years. We talked about it last week. This was Cyberpunk 2077, 5, 6 years. Mass Effect, yep. 3, 4 years. Skyrim, 3, 4, 5 years. It's the big AAA titles, they take a while to develop, but they succeed for years on end. And it's just, if you follow that model, it's not a broken model. If you think about it, it works. So, give these AAA titles the opportunity to do that. Yes, there's developmental powerhouses like the Dices and Infinity Wards where you can go year after year following the same model. But when you have a title like Fable that has developed over the course of 7, 8 years, you have so much lore to pull from and to build. And especially when you're going from, the way Fable started off back in history, and I believe the city was Bowerstone. It grows. It went from a small town to a big town to a city, and then boom, now you're getting dropped into one of the most iconic cities, becoming a London type city. You can't, I shudder to think what we could have had, but because of big business, we'll never see it. It'll never see the light of day.
Well, two things. One, Microsoft shut down Lionhead Studios, but that doesn't mean that in the future we might see a Fable game once again, but instead of Lionhead, it's going to be a different developer that's going to be working on it too. So it's possible. Now, another thing too, based on the reaction and the feedback that people have been posting online because of this interview with Lionhead Studios, now Microsoft see, damn, we messed up. Maybe behind the scenes they're realizing that that was a huge mistake for them shutting down that idea. And maybe in the future we'll see a cool game, a cool Fable game from a different developer, So who knows? We'll see in the future, man. So another thing too is, well, I'm not surprised. Watch Dogs 2, most likely we're going to be seeing it at E3. There was a conference call a couple of days ago for investors and analysts. And the CEO of Ubisoft gave a little bit of information about Watch Dogs. He was saying Our biggest title will be Watch Dogs, which will build on the success of the first game, and it has been one of the Ubisoft best-selling games of all time. The game will once again surprise players with a new tone and innovative hacking gameplay possibilities.
Oh, I'm thinking something along the lines of Anonymous, where they start going big, you know, much bigger picture. That's the only thing I can think of.
You played the first one, right?
I played a little bit of it. It just wasn't for me. What's interesting is, as much as we sit in front of a computer on a day to day, we have our smartphones, you know, with us day to day. It didn't capture me as much as, let's say, a Destiny or Division. It has opportunity, but it had too many issues with it for it to be successful. I would love to see something like this and or like a, what was that? Oh, the other dog. God.
Which one?
Sleeping Dogs.
Oh, Sleeping Dogs. Okay.
There's so much opportunity for it.
Yeah. Paris, what about you? You played Watch Dogs before or what?
No, if you guys remember, I was like, I'm passing on this. I didn't play it.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah, because it just... And obviously, I wind up being, I won't say I was being right, but I'm glad that I did wait, because the first one just wasn't what we all thought it was going to be. You know, maybe the sequel will be. And if you look at Ubisoft games, this is kind of just the way they work. I mean, Assassin's Creed is obviously a great example of that. From the first Assassin's Creed to the second Assassin's Creed, it's like they laid the foundation for the core of what the game's going to be in the first one, and then they iterated on it in the sequel, and it wound up being a fantastic game. So hopefully that's the same case here with Watch Dogs 2. So I'll be curious at E3 to see what comes of it.
Yeah, well, we definitely have a couple of predictions for E3 coming up very, very soon. So,
yeah, before we move on, let's take a word from our sponsor, Gamefly. Are you ready to save money and play more games? Then let me introduce you to our sponsor, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. Just go to Gamefly.com, pick your favorite games, and have them mailed directly to your door. They are the leading video game rental service, over 9,000 titles to choose from. You know, it lets you try your favorite games and movies before you actually have to buy them. You can keep the games that you love to play as long as you want. You'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. And again, they offer movie rentals as well. So go to Gamefly.com/gamertag. Start your free premium. You get the premium 30-day trial today. The premium trial allows you to check out two games or movies at the same time. You can only get this offer by visiting Gamefly.com/gamertag. Now go to sign up. Start playing your favorite games today absolutely free for 30 days at Gamefly.com/gamertag. And again, on a personal note, when I saw this sponsor come in, I was like, man, this is awesome, because I've used Gamefly plenty of times. And like it says, you can get those two games. You get to keep them as long as you want. I mean, the price after the free trial is reasonable. But again, they're giving you a month. They're giving you a month to have any two games that you want. Get to play them as long as you want. You don't need to worry about, oh, man, I got the late fee coming in or whatever. And, you know, and if you love the service, you can just pay for it after the 30-day trial and you just keep going. Yeah, I think it's great. So, again, go to Gamefly.com/gamertag. Get that 30-day premium trial. Check it out. You guys will have a blast.
Definitely, man. Shout out to Gamefly. All right, Pete, before we go to fan mail and E3 predictions, very quick, man, Uncharted 4, without spoilers, for Paris and for the and for the listeners.
Wow. So for those that aren't familiar, have been living under a rock, Uncharted 4 Thief's End just dropped earlier this week, brought to you by Naughty Dog on the PlayStation 4. It is an exclusive, so if you have not had a chance to pick one up, I suggest you go to your nearest brick and mortar or through Amazon, as Paris alluded to earlier in the show, and get
it. Or Gamefly.
Or Gamefly, yes. You can absolutely rent it from Gamefly or buy it.
Yep.
It's a action-adventure third-person shooter. It follows the story of Nathan Drake and his brother Sam as you know, going through what Nathan Drake typically does. He goes hunting for treasure around the world. So I'm trying to do this without.
Well, don't, because I ain't
giving any spoilers or any just hints.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't, this is not a review, but just say so far what you think. And that's it. No story. No story at all. I really want Paris and everybody else that hasn't played this game to be surprised.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. It's as simple as go get it. If you watch any, or if you've seen any of, you know, the responses on Twitter or Facebook of everybody else that's played the game, it's not like they're lying or they're just, you know, they're coming out of nowhere. This is my second attempt to play an Uncharted game. I bought the Uncharted bundle back in December and I started playing, I think it was Uncharted 2, because I wanted to try and go through the whole story before the game came out. Unfortunately, that never happened. I never finished 2, but jumping in, I've got almost 7 hours in Uncharted so far over the last 2 or 3 days. I'll probably finish it in the next day or two with time permitting, but wow, it is. Everybody's saying it's definitely game of the year potential. It's so far it's there. I think I'm on chapter 11 right now. Wow. Yeah. It ticks a lot of those boxes of success. It's got amazing. It's always had an amazing storyline, but the gameplay is in there. It's the whole package, dude.
Let me ask this question before you say anything, Danny. Okay. Do you, and both of you answer, please. Do you think Neil Druckmann was right in trashing, and I don't want to say trashing, but not going with Amy Hennig's story and basically just redoing everything and getting the game that we had today? I mean, we obviously don't know what her story was going to be.
That's what I was about to say.
My point is, do you think, obviously they didn't agree with what she wanted to do, and obviously had to split and she left and went to EA. But the story that you're playing, is this satisfactory so far for the next logical step of Nathan Drake?
I think so. And I'll take it to this level. I personally think that, you know, The Witcher, it, to me, is one of the best games of this generation. I'll put Uncharted 4 next to that.
That's pretty big. That, to me, that's pretty big. Yep. because when we look at this current generation of games, to me, it's Witcher 3 and then everything else.
And then going back to what you said about the whole Nathan Druckmann. Neil Druckmann. I was saying it before Druckmann. We started. We're trying to talk about it, but yeah, the whole Neil Druckmann. There was a controversy, I want to say,
yeah,
about certain characters and how they're portrayed, etc., ethnicity. But yeah, I think characters that were there from before make a reappearance. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. I think this is a top-notch way to bring a close to the Uncharted story. Again, I haven't gotten to the end, so I don't know what could possibly anything, if anything does happen at the end. I've done really, really well with avoiding any and all reviews because I wanted to keep this to myself. But so far, if this is the way for Nathan Drake, for this to be his swan song, his final goodbye to the Uncharted series. Yeah. It's they're doing it right now. It's like you get so much investment from playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, and this is an email we got in. I know we'll do a whole segment later, but this fits right into this. Okay. Sonny from Oregon, and his Xbox gamer tag has salt in it, so I think that's great. but he asked the question, is Uncharted 4 really worth $60? So
yes.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yes.
Sonny?
Yes. Right away. Earlier, Paris, you were saying that there's not that many games that has taken to that level so far in this generation. And the only one that we could think of is only The Witcher and now Uncharted. Dude, this game is freaking amazing. It's so well done, man. So well done. Just like the voice acting, the the design, the gameplay, just the gaming experience, the soundtrack, everything just feels right. And I feel like this is even a better game than Uncharted 2. And I love Uncharted 2.
That's good.
Three, I was a little bit disappointed. Like, I see what they were trying to do with that game. It just didn't work for me. This one, they did it right. And you know me, I am picky as hell. For me to say that this is one of my favorite games of this generation so far, next to The Witcher, it's big.
So when Danny says, like, when he uses The Witcher as an example, that's multi-platform. So, like, that's not a cause to go out and buy an Xbox or go out and buy a PlayStation, because you can play it on any of them. Right. This is one of those rare games that makes that investment of $300+ to buy a device specifically for a game worth it.
Yes.
Now let me ask you this question, because I've seen this pop up on Twitter a few times. Does this change anyone's mind on a PlayStation Neo? Do we need a PlayStation Neo after seeing Uncharted 4?
Personally, I don't think so. We don't need it. For me now, for you guys, it's probably different, but the game looks beautiful with or without it. So
I have mine connected to my 1080, you know, PTV in my office. I considered moving my PlayStation 4 out into my living room with my Sony TV. It's a 4K TV, to see if there would be any visual difference. I didn't. If this was on PC, I would have lost it, because if it looks this good on 1080p, I can just imagine what could be portrayed if I had like a 1070 or 1080 on my computer or whatever. But yeah, it's the real deal. It's the real deal. Can we hurry up and finish fan mail and everything else now? So we can.
Let me say one other thing, because again, just hearing the excitement in your guys' voices.
You know, I haven't turned on my PlayStation since December.
But this brings back to the point that I was saying earlier. And again, this is not Microsoft or whatever. It's just this point. It sounds like this is that game. And that's my point. On any platform, what's that game that says, you know what, I'm getting that console because I got to play that game, because that's the only way I can play it. You know what I mean? And from the sounds of it, this sounds like the first game that we can universally say that with. You know what I mean? So yeah. Hopefully, I don't give a crap what platform it's on. I want to see more of this. You know what I mean? Like you said, we in the show right now, personally, because I'm playing the game as soon as we're done. I mean, that's how I feel about it. You know, so I'm excited. And I've been a big Uncharted fan since the beginning. And like Danny alluded to earlier, Uncharted 2, one of the best games ever made. Now I got one last question for you guys. One last question, because we've all played. Well, Pete, I don't know if you played The Last of Us, but so maybe this is Danny.
I did.
Okay. Is this do you see The Last of Us, like things from The Last of Us, story-wise and cinematic-wise and direction-wise, was The Last of Us kind of a lessons learned for things that they've implemented into Uncharted 4? Are you seeing that?
I think so. And you know the part where the introduction where it got really, really personal in the beginning?
Yes.
With this? Okay. I feel that with this game, man. Like, I feel like there's more to the whole character of this game, and other characters too.
Right.
We were not getting that before as much with the past Uncharted games, and this one, I feel like there's something about this game that now my emotions is like, sometimes I feel bad for certain characters, like. I don't know, man. It's more. I never gotten that with Uncharted games in the past at all. This one is like, to me, just learning more about the characters, super, super important to me in this game, man.
Now, Danny, would you say, based on what you've played so far, and yes. I don't know where you're at now in the game, so I don't want to say anything, but
yeah, I'm not gonna tell you what chapter, because I want you to be surprised. So go for it.
Oh, I'm on chapter 11. I've already admitted it.
That's fine, but I'm not going to.
Well, I'm on chapter 0, so just don't say it.
Yeah. From a writing perspective, from a story perspective, Last of Us or Uncharted 4, which do you think is better? From a story perspective, not saying gameplay, from a story perspective, you know, the interactions of characters and how they get around, you know, the whole thing.
I think the introduction of Last of Us was more powerful.
Yes.
But the story overall, I think that this one, the style is a little bit different, and I'm loving this more than The Last of Us.
A little more
story wise overall.
It's a little more personal. It makes it personal. On parts of the game.
Yes.
Because of the story. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. We're on the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I love, don't get me wrong, I love The Last of Us. That's like an amazing game. I feel like the introduction of that game was more powerful, but just overall, the whole package, this one is a better game.
Well, here one last thing on it from me. well, no, because it's actually fascinating that I've not played it, and I just get to ask questions as a novice on this without actually knowing, but comparing again to The Last of Us. Because if you guys remember, you know, a few years back when The Last of Us came out, I played it, beat it, but I never loved the gameplay. And I've always had in the back of my head, I was like, man, if they could implement this story style into with the Uncharted gameplay, it'd probably be one of the best games ever made. And from hearing what you're saying, this is what it sounds like. It sounds like we're getting the story style from The Last of Us, which, look, it's freaking AAA, top-notch. If you've never played The Last of Us, just cut this podcast off and go get it, because you probably get it for like $10 right now. It's fantastic.
Or get it from Gamefly.
There you go.
Gamefly.com/gamertag.
30-day free trial. Check it out.
Yeah.
But back to my point is, I love the story so much of The Last of Us that I just powered my way through the gameplay and just ignored it because the story was that strong. And again, from what it sounds like you're saying, they're taking the best of both worlds. Now, what would you say? This is taking the gameplay of Uncharted 2 and melding it with the story of The Last of Us. Is that what we're getting?
Yes. And I think that this one has a better gameplay. I mean, control, better shooting, better everything than past Naughty Dog games.
Wow. I mean, that's
in my opinion.
This isn't a spoiler option or anything, but you do get an option for specific camera and movement at the beginning of the game, and you can switch it on and off based on how you play. There have been some occasional issues where I go to reach for a specific thing and I jump in the opposite direction, you know, to a wall. So, I mean, it's not 100%, but it's really close.
Yeah.
Okay, final thing, because I know we'll literally talk about this forever. So final thing, because I'm going to pull a Ryan McCaffrey. I'm putting a gun to both of your heads, and I'm going to ask you that if you had to choose, gun to your head, CD Projekt Red or Naughty Dog?
God, Jesus. Why you got to do this to me?
Damn.
Wow, you cursed.
you know what? I mean, it depends on what type. Okay. Again, I think personally, just learning more about the characters, like CD Projekt was good at open world, hands down. They're the best when it comes to that. But to me, I never connected with the characters in The Witcher. This one, I'm invested with the characters. Like I know about them. My emotions could go up and down because of this game.
But Danny, did you play Witcher 1 and 2?
I played 2. I didn't ever play 1. Never play 1.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. With Naughty Dog and with respects to Uncharted, you have a couple. You've got 4, maybe 5 games now where you've invested. Similar to like what we said about Fable. You've got that investment of character, you know, spanning, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years. So you build that relationship with those characters over a long period of time. Whereas with Witcher, you've only had 2 or 3 instances in some respects. From a game perspective, I would probably say, I'm going to say Naughty Dog.
Yeah, same here.
Just because the way there has been parts of in Witcher 3 where I've gone, I'm like, damn, dude, that really sucks. But the way that Naughty Dog has been able to write into their story of the game and make it super personable, like that first moment in The Last of Us, I stopped. I had to stop. I put down the controller. I was like, damn, as a father, I just can't handle the rest of the game right now. I gotta put this game on pause and come back later. Things like that I'm gonna have to go with Naughty Dog because they just have a way of giving you the gameplay, but with that storyline that hits you from a human perspective, yes, that gives you the full package.
Anything else, Paris? Because you always say one last thing.
One last final thing now.
No, that's it for me, man. Look, I'm just curious. I'm literally asking the questions that I feel like people listening to this would want to ask you. So I had to make sure I got it all out there.
So that's good that you haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
That's good.
So next week I'll have my own little quick impressions of it too.
And I hope you agree with us. We'll see.
Anybody else listening, always opinionated. So we'll see.
Yeah. By the way, we have to talk about that very quick. Somebody didn't like the intro, Paris. They said that they didn't like that part of the intro because of you. I'm like, wait a minute. How is that a bad thing? Wasn't it Paris that came up with the whole
Yeah, that's what's funny, because when we were originally talking about this, we're like, you know, say something real quick to describe yourself. And I'm like, well, I'm always opinionated, right? So that's where that came from. I don't know why he didn't like it. I don't know. Maybe he didn't want Pete to be out of the norm. Maybe you just need to be a regular dude, man. I don't know.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so Pete, you ready?
No, but let's do it.
It's time for fan mail. Yep.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right, so we have a couple emails and voicemail. Let's start with this voicemail because I believe, I think Paris have a couple things to say about this. Let's play right now.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How you guys doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just finished listening to the latest podcast that you guys had where you were going over your predictions for Microsoft. Very, very interesting predictions, especially the one about Jet Set Radio. I would love to see that game make a resurgence. But I had just a very quick question for you guys pertaining to E3 with Microsoft and Sony. If Microsoft, since they always go first at E3, if Microsoft doesn't show off a new console, well, not a new console, but of course an updated console hardware, you know, hardware, will that make Sony maybe not show off theirs? Because it has not been officially announced that they're doing it. So far it's been speculation and Sony has not confirmed it yet. But if Microsoft does hold off on showing new hardware, do you think that Sony would follow suit, or do you think that they would go ahead and go for it? And the other question to that is if Microsoft does not, if they opt to not show new hardware, do you think that it could become a negative outlook on Microsoft at this point? Because we know that the way that it stands right now, the PlayStation 4, even though they are very similar in architecture, the Xbox One is a bit inferior as far as the hardware goes. Just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that. Love the show. I continue to listen. Thank you for that long length of show as well. It was well over an hour, and I was blown away. Thank you guys so much, and y'all take care. Bye-bye.
Paris, what you think?
No, again, thank you, Keon, for always sending us voicemails. And again, everyone else listening, we're always playing his voicemails because he always sends us one. So if you want to be heard too, definitely send us a voicemail at 786-273-7GTR. But again, it's funny that he sent that voicemail because I was kind of thinking about this as well with when it comes to the PlayStation Neo in E3. I don't think no matter what Microsoft does, unless Microsoft says, hey, Xbox 1.5, $399, they show it at E3 all out. I personally don't think they'll do that. I think at the most they would do is possibly a slim. Wouldn't be surprised if they don't even do that at E3. Here's my thought. we know PlayStation Neo is going to happen. There was even a report now that's coming out for some French site that's saying it will be at the end of September before October, which if you go by the leaked documents, kind of makes sense because September is when developers can start updating old games to be Neo compatible. October, they're mandated to be Neo compatible. So that kind of makes sense. I don't think they announced the PlayStation Neo at E3. I was convinced of this until a few days ago, and then it kind of clicked with me. Why tank sales for the entire summer for the average consumer? Because the average person doesn't pay attention to all this stuff, right? So wait till Gamescom. You announce it at Gamescom, and then a couple weeks later, it's out.
It makes sense, too. It makes sense because they could focus the whole VR stuff.
Exactly. E3 is all about VR. They can still announce all the new games that are coming. And then when we get to Gamescom, remember Horizon? We're showing it and it looks so good. Well, here it is on the Neo and it looks even better now. You know what I mean? And then you announce the price, whole thing, blah, 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 blah. So now I'm actually not even expecting the Neo at E3. I expect Sony to kind of dance around it because, again, we already know the press is going to hound them. We're going to hound them at E3 about this Neo. They will have no comment about the Neo. And then when we get to Gamescom, that's when they'll officially announce it. Just to me, it just makes sense. But going back to Microsoft, I personally think they'll wait to Gamescom to announce any piece of new hardware as well, unless it's just a Slim and they're lowering the price across the board. Then they can say Xbox Slim, $250. Available right now. The old systems were discounting down to $220, and we're getting rid of stock or whatever. I'm just pulling numbers out of my tuchus, but you get the point. If it's just they're not going to come with an Xbox 1.5 this year and they're just going to go with a Slim, kind of does make more sense for them to just lower the price at E3 and announce it now.
Let's see. We're going to go with Ryan Peters, simply because his last name is Peters. All right, so hey guys, hope all is going well for everyone. I've been a listener for a little over a year, and I'm so glad to finally be able to listen to like-minded people talk about video games and share opinions or predictions without much criticism. Paris.
Well, I don't get that. I just pause on that. What does he mean?
I don't opinionated. That's why.
Is he saying I'm too critical? I don't get it.
Or just too opinionated.
I'm too opinionated? Okay.
I'm just giving you a hard time, my guys. But I do have a question you all can weigh in on. On the PS4, and the problem I'm often running into is the limited space on my hard drive for my games. I enjoy massive games like Witcher 3, Destiny, Dragon's Age, GTA 5, and Fallout 4, just to name a few. The problem is that when a new game like Uncharted 4 drops, now I'm on the dilemma of what game to put in the online storage and delete so I can play new ones. And then, if I want to go back and play one I've put in the cloud, I have to re-download the application and a game like Witcher 3, the five-hour process. I'm on the 500-meg console, so is there any other way around all
that's the problem
and re-downloading when I want to go back to another game? Going into the purchase of the PS4, I was under the impression it was like the PS3 in that if you had the physical disc, you did not have to download the game, just DLC or add-ons. I hope I explained my concern clear enough, and I'll be listening to GTR podcast through Stitcher in hopes you guys can help me or anyone else out with similar problems as you guys give solid and sound advice. Thank you. I'm so proud of you all for your personal and podcast accomplishments, and you all deserve recognition. Your friend and fan, Ryan Thomas. P.S. The game I would like to see made into a movie would probably be Mass Effect, but to make it even better, the audience should be able to pull in during certain events in the movie and make decisions that could make the movie a different path. Unanimous would win. What an epic theater experience that would be. Much love, guys. Peace.
Well, he's on a 500 megabyte hard drive. I'm surprised he can play any games on that. No, I mean, obviously he's talking to 500 gigabyte, but I'm sure whatever Sony does here at E3 or Gamescom or whatever this new PlayStation is going to be, and even if they iterate on the quote unquote base model, they got to expand the hard drive. I mean, just 500 gigabytes is just simply not enough. And the fact that you can't add your own external storage is a problem.
And I was having that issue too when I was downloading Uncharted. It wasn't downloaded because I ran out of space. I'm like, what? So I had to delete like some old demos, some games that I downloaded to that I don't play anymore. I had to erase all of them, man, in order for me to download Uncharted 4. It was a pain in the butt, man.
And they were able to do this with the PlayStation 3, and you can do this on the PlayStation 4 as well. You can go out and buy your own hard drive. So if you want to go out and get a 1 terabyte solid state drive, you can go out and get a 2 terabyte drive, I'm not sure on the size limitation. But you can go out and buy your own 2.5-inch drive, slap it in there, replace the existing one. You just need to have an OS USB drive so that you can boot up the PS4 from a USB drive, and then it'll copy and install the operating system for the PlayStation 4 onto that new drive. And then boom, you've got a brand new drive. I know my friend at work has done that. As soon as he got his PS4 on launch day, he went out and put a 1 terabyte SSD in there, and his games launch quicker, and he's got a terabyte of space in there as opposed to a 500 gig drive. So
Peter.
Wait.
No, but all jokes aside, seriously, what do you think the percentage of people out there listening that would actually do that? See, I say it's probably less than 15%.
It probably is, but I mean, it's not that difficult. You can watch, there's YouTube video tutorials out there that'll walk you through the process, and it's not that difficult. It really isn't.
Yeah, maybe for us, but what about little Johnny? Little Johnny's not going to do that.
It's a YouTube video. It's follow the steps.
Mm-hmm. And then his mom's go, what the hell are you doing to that PlayStation 4? You put that down. You're going to break it.
Yep. No, the opportunity is there. You can do it. I mean, it's just whether you want to take that chance and do it. But I mean, I totally get what he's saying.
Yeah, I do too.
It is a pain. I'm not sure if Sony has pushed out PS4s with a bigger drive. I don't know if they have yet. I know Microsoft did that with the Xbox One.
They have a one terabyte drive,
but
I think they do with Call of Duty, the console. Wasn't that a 1 terabyte?
The Black Ops 3 limited edition PS4 had a 1 terabyte. I don't know if the Nathan Drake collection has that though.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Incorrect. The Uncharted Nathan Drake collection, which is the one that I got, you get a 1 terabyte PS4. You can do that with the Assassin's Syndicate one. So it depends on the bundle.
Are you sure? Okay, I got to go check my son's PlayStation 4 now, because I swore it was just 500.
I think there's an option. Okay. You can buy either a 500 gig or a 1 terabyte PS4. I'm looking at it right now on the PlayStation.com site. And so you can get it with either or, either the 500 gig or the 1 terabyte edition.
Gotcha.
And so they've got that for several systems, but it's a bundle thing. You have to buy either the Black Ops 3 bundle, Battlefront bundle, Assassin's Creed bundle, or the Nathan Drake collection.
So we should read one more email and then we go with predictions.
Okay, I got one for you. Actually, I'm going to acknowledge this one, but then there's another one I want to read. Because Brandon sent us an email. He says, "Salutation, Gamertag crew. I'm a new listener since Ryan McCaffrey talked about you guys on Podcast Unlocked. So again, thank you for being a new listener." He just, to sum up what he was saying, we kind of already talked about it. He's expecting an E3 for them to announce an Xbox One Slim. And then he talked about an Xbox One Infinity, which I'm assuming would be the new Xbox One 1.5. He gave some pricing details. He felt this Infinity would be modular, so you can upgrade the CPU and the GPU independently, things like that. We've talked about this already, so I just won't go into too much detail about it, but that's his prediction. Again, Brandon, thank you for being a new listener. We really appreciate it and keep sending that feedback. But the other email I wanted to read was from Jules, and he says, "Battlefield 1 versus Call of Duty on Paris's side this time." Well, thank you. I like when someone agrees with me and is not yelling at me, because I get that on Twitter all day. So he says, "What's up, Jules here. Truth, as I've seen it, Battlefield has consistently looked worlds better since Battlefield 3. I've always owned both and have always used Battlefield to showcase my graphics card. That said, Call of Duty consistently outsells the Battlefield series. Here is why. Ease of play. You guys may have gathered from my previous emails, I play first-person shooters a lot. I can say in my personal experience and from speaking with others that Call of Duty is a lot quicker to pick up and play. I could go from 10 kills in Battlefield, jump on Call of Duty, and easily go 25 plus kills." Well, you're just a badass. The games. Excuse me. The games are not the same. The Battlefield series takes considerable more skill to master and be really good. Look at Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, and Battlefield. All great games, all requires a specific skill set as a player. My point is, as far as mainstream first-person shooters go, Call of Duty series is the easiest to pick up and play for a casual gamer, technical enough to draw in competitive players. It's the reason that Call of Duty outsells Battlefield each year. Lord knows it's not due to graphics. Keep up the good work. Side note, I'm with Paris. My SLI 970s are up for sale. 1080, here I come. Yes, Jesus. Yes. We're going to do it. Let us dream. But Jules, thank you for the email. And no, and I agree. I'm glad you sent this email, because that's the thing. Call of Duty is easy to pick up, but hard to master. Whereas I feel that Battlefield is not hard to pick up, but it's harder to pick up than Call of Duty. And it's definitely hard to master, especially when you're trying to fly jets and helicopters and tanks and do all that kind of stuff. So, that's the point. The average person can pick up Call of Duty, find success in it, and have fun with their buddies. But if you want to get to that elite level and esports and all that, there's a lot of skill involved to get to that next level of it. Whereas Battlefield, yeah, dude, you need to read a manual before you jump in and start playing that. And again, it's a lot more tactical, too. It's slower paced, and that plays into it as well. It's not going to – Battlefield, in my opinion, will never be the esports phenomenon that Call of Duty is. And – since Call of Duty is this big esport, it's on TV everywhere now with Turner Sports launching everything, ESPN, Twitch is obviously always showing it. You know, they got these tournaments across the globe. It just gets more eyeballs is what I'm trying to say. Hence why it's the number one selling game year after year. Whereas Battlefield, they got a tougher hill to climb, because it takes a lot more investment to get really good at Battlefield than it does at Call of Duty, in my personal opinion. Unless we're talking elite levels, where again, it's going to take a lot of skill and effort to be elite at Call of Duty as well.
All right, cool. So I think it's time for E3 predictions.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Here are Gamertag Radio's E3 predictions.
All right, so thank you, Miss Leo. And this time we're going to be talking about Ubisoft. And I would like to start first, because I know Paris and P are going to have a long party list. But I'll keep it simple. Number one, of course, the Assassin's Creed movie trailer just came out recently, a couple days ago. Horrible music choice, by the way. But a great trailer. I think we're going to get to see the cast over there during the Ubisoft press conference. And they'll also show the trailer, of course. Maybe a new one, who knows, at the press conference. I think that's going to happen. And I also think that they will show Beyond Good and Evil 2. They'll show it over there. But Ubisoft is not going to mention that this is a NX exclusive. They're just going to show it, make an announcement at the end of the press conference, and just end it like that. So keep everybody curious about it. But at least they know that Beyond Good and Evil 2 is done. It's official and it's coming out. So that's my prediction.
I hate you.
Why you hate me?
Because that was one of mine.
Okay.
No, I think that's going to be the consensus one, because everybody, I know Ansel has said there's going to be a sequel. It's just a matter of time.
And they've been saying that for 10 years now.
I know. Same as we've all been expecting to Half-Life 3 to drop, but it's never going to happen.
Never going to come out. Yeah. Hi. Go for it. Who else?
Okay. Okay. Oh, I figured I'd give you a minute to think of something, since Danny stole your shine.
No, trust me, I got a whole list here. I'm ready.
Okay. Let me throw this one in real quick, and then we can get back to you. So here's my crazy prediction. So Ubisoft has said repeatedly here in the last few months that, you know, Assassin's Creed is taking a break this year, right? Well, we just saw that trailer for a new Assassin's Creed movie that's coming out in December, right?
Yes.
I think there's going to be an Assassin's Creed game in 2016, and it's going to come out with the movie. That's my crazy prediction.
I thought they were going to take a break this year.
Did you not hear what I just said?
He don't read. He don't listen. You know this.
Anyways.
Danny, let me dream. I'm thinking they pull it. It would not shock me. Not an Assassin's Creed game that's on the scale of the past few ones that we've gotten, but I could see a smaller game that ties into something story specific into the movie. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like when I think of games like Call of Duty and all that, and they come out year after year, and the fact that Ubisoft is saying we're going to take a year off, I don't believe it. I just think there's something up with it, and I think it ties into the movie. So
I think that instead of doing that, show the trailer of the movie and then say, if you want to play past Assassin's Creed games, here's a like a collection HD remastered edition type thing.
You know what? You might be right. They bring back like the original Assassin's Creed and update it or something and do a remaster maybe.
I'm always right.
Wow.
Wow.
Cussing at me.
Really? Is that really necessary?
Hey, I'm angry. All right. But that's a good one, though. I like that prediction. Man, I'm pretty good with the predictions this time, man. Yeah, all right. Keep it up.
Jesus, man.
Toot your own horn there.
Let me dream. Wow. Yeah,
toot your own horn a little more there. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, you just sounds like you just grew a third hand in your back and you just keep patting yourself.
A third hand. All right. Anything else, Paris? Any other? Are you done?
I feel like, okay, and I might be still in Pete's shine on this, but I think they're going to have a huge announcement for The Division. Something we're not expecting. Something in game that are just going to have people. Pete might start crying in the theater. I think that's how big it might be. Something raid-like that they're going to announce for The Division. And it's going to, because they've never officially said what that last piece of DLC is going to be for the season pass, right?
Yeah. They never quantified what exactly it would be.
I think that announcement happens at E3, and I think it's going to be pretty big. And for my final one, again, this is just, I just have this weird feeling. They're going to do something with Rainbow Six, almost like they may just make it like an annual thing where they're just constantly pumping out maps for it. And, you know, there might be some weird season pass thing that they come out with. I don't know exactly, but I just feel like we're not done with Rainbow Six just yet.
All right, yeah. So, you know, Danny and Paris did steal a little bit of my shine. Wanted to say, you know, Beyond Good and Evil 2 and The Division details were going to be announced, but I think we're going to see Ghost Recon Wildlands gameplay and maybe a release date. I'm going to anticipate Q1 2017. It's been a while. I know that the game's been in development, so I think they're going to drop a little bit more information. I was going to mention Watch Dogs 2. I think they're going to do another release date, and they're going to show us gameplay as well. Mm-hmm. Did Fractured But Whole ever come out for South Park? Or is it still for release?
Which one?
South Park Fractured But Whole. I know they announced it last year.
It came out. Was it came out for the...
I don't know if it came out yet. I don't think it's come out yet. I think there's going to be... And I'm pretty sure, because I was looking this up the other day. I haven't seen it. So I think they're going to have gameplay at the Ubisoft booth. That's going to be my other prediction, along with the final release date, which will be later this year.
Okay.
But my last one, I think they're going to announce a new Splinter Cell.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Came strong, bro. Came strong.
Wow.
I'm pretty good with this, huh?
I like that. Splinter Cell?
It's been a while. And the last one was...
Very long time.
You know what I mean? I think it's time that... It's starting to get to that time where now Tom Clancy starting to hit that stride now between The Division.
And Rainbow it's a well-known Six, IP from them,
Ghost
too.
Ghost Recons. So.
Yeah.
Little Splinter Cell announcement, just a little teaser trailer. Have a nice day. It's going to be at the end of the Ubisoft booth, and you're just going to see the flash of the, you're just going to see the three green lights and hear the sound of pew, and that's it. Have a nice night. Good night.
Wow, I can see that happening.
Okay, Pete. I have to throw in an extra on your Splinter Cell thing. Now work with me. Okay, Miss Leo, let me dream.
Okay.
What if the new Splinter Cell was a shared world where there was a quote-unquote dark zone element to it, where you go in with your spy versus spy, merc the whole thing, and you're extracting things. And I know it just sounds like the damn Division, but I'm just saying, in something similar, but in a Splinter Cell type setting, like you have like these co-op missions that you can go on together. There are other players out there in that world that you can interact with at the same time. What if they did some crazy like that?
I probably faint
too.
That would be awesome, dude.
Wow, that's pretty dope.
Man.
It won't happen because it sounds too cool.
Hey, don't say never. You never know.
Can I dream?
Can I dream? Let me have my dream.
Yeah, that is pretty dope. But I really do think it's about that time where we start to see Tom Clancy get really, really prevalent in the game sphere. And that fills that circle. Because we've had Tom Clancy's Division, Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon. The last one that's missing from that group, Splinter Cell. Now, whether we see Sam Fisher again, who knows? But I think it may be that time to bring that out of the basement and bring it back to glory.
Well, it's funny you bring up Sam Fisher. I think it's time to retire Sam Fisher. I think it's time to just carry on the Splinter Cell name, mm-hmm. but introduce a new lead. I think Sam's had his shine, and it's time to bring someone else in.
Yeah, and yeah, similar retired. To what's his name? Similar to the game that we talked about earlier, I don't think it's going to be. I think they've already announced it's not going to be Aiden Pierce in Watch Dogs. So why not?
Yeah, why not? And go back to what you're saying with Ghost Recon. I mean, that's one we're talking about tactical shooters and everything. I hope they just take Ghost Recon to just the absolute next level with that stuff. I mean, that's something when we talk about the early days of Xbox Live, Ghost Recon was that game, man. Mm-hmm. That's what got me playing Xbox Live back in the day. So I would really love to see them just come out firing with something just next level on a tactical shooter scale with Ghost Recon. So fingers crossed.
And to end it, I can't wait to see Pete's reaction when they announce a new Just Dance game. There you go.
I know that they're going to announce that. That's why I didn't even bother putting it in there, because you just know they would Just Dance, in 97, and it's going to be the last 8 songs from the radio, and you're just dancing in your living room for it. That's why I didn't bother putting it, because you know it's going to be in there.
Speaking on that, just one last thing. Because, the NPDs just came out. When you said Just Dance, it made me think about this. Just Dance is always high up in the NPDs. That game freaking sells. It prints money, so people can laugh at it all they want, but someone's buying it. But sticking on the point of the NPDs, when these last ones came out, Black Ops 3, no shock, still in the top 5 of games. Grand Theft Auto 5 is still the 5th most sold game right now. Blows my mind. Absolutely,
it's been there for years.
Yeah, crazy.
And, by the way, I know we talked about new hardware that we might see during E3. It's crazy that there was no comment from either Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony about console sales at all. Zero comment from them.
Well, and you saying that, and it kind of goes back on something I said earlier. Maybe the average consumer is a little more conscious of what's going on right now, because maybe people are waiting for E3 to see what they say. Maybe that's it. Maybe like, I'm hearing there might be new consoles, some Neo Matrix thing. I'm going to wait to see what they say before I go buy a console now, which it really is a smart move. I think you'd be crazy to buy a console right now. You might as well wait.
Yeah, and I think in the NPDs it says something that console sales dropped. And it's maybe because of that, Paris, they're just waiting to see what's going to happen during E3. Are there going to be any new hardware? And I think it's the right time for companies to release new hardware, because that will get the consumer excited. Go get they'll buy the hardware. And once again, profit for Sony, Microsoft, or even Nintendo if they ever announce any new hardware. So there you go. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Anything else, guys, you want to say or no?
I think we feel good, a heavy show, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
Hour plus. See, Keon's going to be happy again.
Keon, this show is dedicated to you, man. There you go.
Well, I'm going to go play Uncharted 4, so wrap this up, Danny.
All right, let's do this. All right. Head over to GamertagRadio.com, play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes and share with your friends. And also, you can find us iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. If you can, any listeners out there that downloads our show through iTunes, make sure to take your time to go over there and post a review of GTR. That will help us big time. And go do that. It takes a couple minutes. It's super easy, and it will help us big time. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmo at gamertagradio.com. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.